You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. If you fail to pay your property taxes, you're obviously in big trouble with the county. That can lead to a home foreclosure. Some Michigan counties routinely sell foreclosed properties and then pocket the proceeds to cover all the costs of foreclosure proceedings. But what if that sale at auction nets a lot of money? More than the foreclosure costs? More than the original tax bill plus interest? A case before the Michigan Supreme Court is testing just how much the government can take from tax-delinquent homeowners. Michigan Radio's Sarah Swick filed a fascinating data story on the practice this week. Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about the case before the Supreme Court?
Basically, the lawsuit was brought on behalf of a guy named Uri Rafaeli, who owned property in Oakland County. And he accidentally underpaid his property taxes 1 year by $8.41. And even though he paid his taxes in later years, Oakland County foreclosed on his home over that $8.41. Oakland County sold the home at auction for about $24,500. So they netted almost $24,500 in profit off that. And the lawsuit simply asks, is that fair, or is that an unconstitutional taking where the government took more from this property owner than they actually owed in taxes? Now, the government's argument is that essentially they can do that because there's this whole due process system in place that people have a chance over about 3 years to avoid foreclosure. And by the time that whole process is exhausted, the government isn't actually taking the property. The person is giving it up.
What does a look at the auction data tell us?
What I found were a lot of differences between the counties. Genesee County isn't making any money. They lost about $5 to $6 million a year. If you look at Wayne County and Oakland County, they are making money. They're making anywhere from a few hundred thousand dollars a year to almost, in 1 year in Wayne and Oakland counties, almost $10 million a year. So there are some pretty wide differences between the counties there.
Yeah, that's not a small revenue stream.
No, it's not. It's a pretty substantial one. So yeah, those counties are making pretty good money off of selling properties at auction. And in a lot of cases, the properties relate exactly to the question at hand in this lawsuit, where some of the properties were sold for well above what the property owner owed in taxes.
So, Sarah, do the counties actually have an interest in people paying their taxes late in some cases?
Yes. The short answer is yes, because here's how the system works. Counties, in most Michigan counties, the vast majority, the county treasurer acts as the tax collector for cities when, after a year, if there are delinquent taxes, the county steps in and tries to collect those back taxes. They reimburse the cities up front out of something called the Delinquent Tax Revolving Fund. And then they set about trying to collect these back taxes. Now, the thing is that when people pay their taxes back late, the counties are allowed to charge some pretty hefty interest and fees. In fact, when I was reviewing some of them, you know, the more granular data of all the properties that were foreclosed on over these 3 years in several counties, you'll find that a lot of people, like what they were actually owed in interest and fees, was in some cases about equal to what they actually owed in back taxes. So these counties end up making pretty good revenue stream off of people actually paying their taxes late. And a lot of counties, most counties, in fact, county treasurers end up with pretty big pots of money in this delinquent tax revolving fund. And in a lot of cases, they're transferring money. In fact, nearly all the five counties I reviewed, all of them transferred some amount of money out of their revolving funds and into their county's general funds or to pay for other projects. Now, some people argue that this is a really bad way to do it because obviously it gives the county a pretty perverse incentive to, you know, have some people paying their taxes late. This is Jerry Paffendorf. He's the CEO and co-founder of Loveland Technologies, and they've been tracking the auction and foreclosure, tax foreclosure process in Wayne County for the past few years pretty intensively.
You could imagine if Detroit and Wayne County were to spend that delinquent tax surplus money differently, you might be able to fund incredible citywide programs to eliminate blight, keep people in their houses better.
So in Wayne County especially, they've leaned very heavily on revenue from the Delinquent Tax Revolving Fund to boost their county's general fund. Some counties like Genesee County actually do what Jerry Paffendorf just mentioned, which is use some of that money for purposes related to tax foreclosure, like alleviating blight. But For most counties, I would say they're not using that money to do that.
Yeah, it's not hard to see how people would get into a spiral of debt with all this. Let's get back to the Raffaele lawsuit. What are the implications here if the plaintiffs win?
Well, the government argues there are some pretty big implications for the entire way that Michigan does tax foreclosure. They make the argument that that since the government would have to return any surpluses, auction surpluses, to any property owner, they're going to have to do it for people, not just, you know, struggling homeowners who really live in their homes and struggle to pay their taxes, but people who truly abandoned properties or irresponsible kind of slum landlords or properties owned by speculators. And then there's also the issue of these complementary class action lawsuits that are going on by people who were in this situation, whose home sold at auction for more than they owed in taxes, and they want the government to return that money to them. And if the Supreme Court rules in Raffaele's favor, then they argue they could end up, local governments could end up having to return as much as $2 billion to these property owners, which would obviously be a huge chunk of change. Dan Kildee is a Michigan congressman, and he's also the former Genesee County treasurer. And he argues that if Raffaele wins this lawsuit, it could just have some devastating impacts on local governments.
We would go back to the circumstance where the government takes the responsibility for all the losses that come from tax foreclosure, all the upside down costs that come with the 95% of the property that have no equity at all.
Obviously, some pretty big implications here if Raffaele does win this lawsuit.
Sarah, thanks for your work on this.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Michigan Radio's Sarah Swick. If you missed her feature earlier this week, you can hear it or read the article at michiganradio.org. We'd like to bring in someone who knows a lot about preventing worst-case scenarios for property owners. Michelle Oberholzer is Director of Tax Foreclosure Prevention for United Community Housing Coalition. Michelle, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you so much.
What recourse do homeowners currently have if they're looking at a foreclosure?
That's a good question. My job and those people on my team, we spend our days counseling people, giving them step-by-step instructions. And there are some solutions available to people. Most of them require payment at some level. And so it's about making sure that when you pay, that the money you spend actually stops the foreclosure, that hopefully you can enter into a payment plan that is affordable to you. It usually comes with juggling the back taxes that are owing to the county with new taxes that are coming out from the city. And we're really reliant on the state laws, which dictate so much of the things that surround tax foreclosure here. So we have one low interest or lower interest payment plan available. That's the IRSPA plan that you was mentioned in your interview with Sarah Swick, where we heard that, yes, many people unfortunately owe more now than they did when they got on the plan. That's currently the best available plan. We would love to be able to refer people to get Step Forward assistance. Those are remaining hardest hit funds that are held by MSHDA. And unfortunately, even though we have seen tens of thousands of homeowners lose equity, lose their ownership due to foreclosure over these past 10 years, those dollars still remain with the state unspent in large part to avoid foreclosure. So that's not really a real solution for people. And here in Detroit, we have a partnership with the city and United Community Housing Coalition, where if you are a resident of a foreclosed home, you may be able to buy back the home that you live in before the auction. And that is through something called the Make It Home program. So there are some solutions available to people, but none of them come with guarantees. And unfortunately, many people continue to lose their homes and many have lost their homes.
There was a principle in play at this case that Sarah mentioned that I wanted to ask you about, and that's the sort of tacit understanding that if someone is going through the process for this 3-year period that's outlined, that they are assumed to be giving up their home, basically allowing the county to take it. Would you say that that is the state of mind that you find property owners in when you're working with them?
That's a good question. I certainly don't believe that people want to give up or wish to lose their homes. If there is resignation, it comes from a lack of access to actual solutions, a lack of clarity about the timeline, about the complete loss that will precipitate when the house is foreclosed. But a lot of people do have a sense, unfortunately, of despair. And most of my job, fortunately, doesn't involve telling people that it's too late. But for the woman whose story is profiled in Sarah Swick's piece, that was basically the case for her. I met her and I said, I wish I had met you 6 months ago. And this is a woman who really exemplifies the lawsuit that we're speaking about here, because she owed approximately $9,000 in property taxes. By the way, that includes the 18% interest. It includes the fees. So the base tax amount that she owed maybe have been about $5,000. She owed a total of $10,000 at the time of the foreclosure. And we knew that her home was worth more than that. And the way that the law is written, you know, you can look at the Wayne County Treasurer website. They have a timeline. April 1st, owner loses all ownership rights. All of her equity was eliminated when the house went into tax foreclosure. And so even though her house sold for over $40,000, as we predicted it would, the difference between her debt and the profit made by the county was not shared with her in any way. She was evicted around Thanksgiving and is now homeless. She could have had $30,000. You know, you could buy a house with that money, and the county could still have been made whole, including interest and fees, but that's just not the way the law is written. And this is completely different, by the way, from how other foreclosures are handled. If you have a bank foreclosure, you owe $50,000 on your home. If when the bank sells it, they sell it for more than what you're owed, what you owed, then you get the remainder. Mm-hmm. And I think for many people who are maybe not low income, many of our lawmakers, people at a different rung of society, it is shocking to them when they do realize, no, this is what we've been doing to low-income homeowners. We basically penalize them for taking care of their home, regardless of the debt, whether they owe a dollar or $10,000. If their house is foreclosed, they lose 100% of their equity.
What do you think could be done to simplify the timeline for homeowners who are behind on their taxes, to sort of just put the future ahead of them?
This is so inherently confusing to folks. Just to give one example of why it's confusing, if you owe taxes right now for 2018, in about a month, you're going to receive a forfeiture notice. And all that really means is that a $200 fee will be added to your debt. And it's basically a precursor to a later foreclosure. But that's not intuitive. It's not understandable. So if then a year later, you get another thing that says you're going to be foreclosed, well, you didn't lose your home a year ago. So why is this going to be any different? It's very unclear what exactly the timeline is, what exactly the loss is, what exactly the debt is, and how much needs to be paid to satisfy the debt. So to answer your question, I mean, we could simplify this process a lot if we eliminated the tax collection in the county and kept everything with the city. At least then we would have one entity. We could improve our notice to actually tell people about exemptions they qualify for, to include the timeline and what the definitions are. This is how much you owe. This is how much you pay to stop the foreclosure, even if it's not the full amount. Those basic details are not being given, and they're the reason why my job exists, unfortunately, which is to fill the gaps in understanding and to try to make it so that no one loses their home for lack of information.
The investigation that the Detroit News published a week or so ago showed that the city has collected hundreds of millions of dollars in property taxes beyond what homes were truly valued at. And if folks missed this, we've got some past episodes of Stateside where you can catch up on that story. And meanwhile, many of the people lost their homes due to an inability to pay their property taxes, which again reflected values far beyond what their homes were actually worth. Just briefly, do you think there's a civil suit awaiting the city for this?
Well, there has already been a lawsuit. The ACLU sued the city of Detroit regarding excessive assessments, and that was thrown out of court. And my understanding of the reasoning that Judge Colombo gave was that there is already a process, there's already a due process where you can challenge your assessment. Now, for those of us in the property tax foreclosure cycle in that world, we know that the way that you are given an opportunity to challenge your assessment is in, you know, size 8 font in a 2-week window after you get your assessment in January. And it's not at all designed for mass reassessment or mass overassessment. So I didn't agree with the judge's findings. I don't know if there will be another lawsuit, but I do think that we are becoming increasingly uncomfortable with the system that we've created. And, you know, this lawsuit is another piece of it. The article about overassessments just put a number on something that we've really known for years. We also know that many people who were eligible for tax exemptions, regardless of the property assessment, were not able to access those. And this current lawsuit that we're discussing today with the excessive takings, that is about, you know, do we actually profit additional to our interest and fees? Do we actually pit our government against its people and draw profit out of foreclosure? You know, these are all parts of the issue that I think are making us uncomfortable. And in response to Kildee's comments, so I want to say a couple things about that. It is true that if one home is worth more than its debt and the government essentially makes a profit off of that, for that home, there may be many others that have less equity and are going to sell for less in the auction than their debt. So his argument may be that we need these few ones that make a profit to cover the losses on the other properties. I would just say that's not at all similar to how, again, bank foreclosure, other types of debts are paid. But I do understand that there is a crisis of government funding here that's underlying all of this. But whenever we say this would be so difficult to untangle, that alone cannot be the rationale for us not to fix it. Basically, we're saying we've done so much injustice that to make it right would be very difficult. And that alone is speaking to the need for us to finally stop increasing the harm and try again to make up for the harm that we've caused others.
Michelle, thanks for talking with us about this today.
Thank you so much.
Michelle Oberholzer works for United Community Housing Coalition as Director of Tax Foreclosure Prevention. Once again, if you need to catch up on Sarah Swick's feature about foreclosures and how they play out at auction, you can find it at michiganradio.org.